Welcome to this week's podcast. Today we're going to have a bit of fun, I think. We'll see where it goes. Today we're talking about the BBW test. Now, this is a new one on me. I'm sure it's a new one on you. Let's just approach it with a bit of fun. Okay, let's see how this got started. So just the other day, our Pilates coach, Vicky, she's in the office with me and we were just chatting and about stats and athletes and things. As you can imagine, we do as a network of coaches down here. And she brought up the fact that her boyfriend was particularly interested right now in his heart rate data, his power data, and was seeing some great successes and, you know, was really getting into the nitty gritty of his detail. And she was saying, you know, that's just not me at all at the moment. I'm not there. I'm just enjoy riding and, you know, it'll come. But right now I'm using, like, you know, the BBW test. She didn't call it that at the time. We developed that as we went. But she said the boyfriend's back wheel. And that was where we sort of started to go, oh, the BBW test, you know. So the BBW test, the boyfriend's back wheel test. Now, you've got to remember, we approach this with a bit of fun. And this can apply to all sorts of things. But I want to talk in this podcast why I wanted to do a podcast about it. What it struck with me that said, actually, this is something that we need to think about, discuss, share, and see if we can, put some context on all of this. Because immediately, my immediate reaction was like, whoa. But actually, once we broke it down and stuff, it's actually, yeah, that's really, really fascinating. Now, before you get too indulged in the idea of the BBW, the boyfriend's back wheel thing, and think it's sexy, it's just, it doesn't really matter. That was just their particular scenario. They're two very, very fit cyclists with a great relationship, and they can laugh and joke about it. But I think there's an awful lot of us that can probably relate to, at least in some point, that idea that you're out riding with someone, and whether it's your girlfriend, you know, your girlfriend's back wheel, or whether it's your best mate's back wheel, or cycling club's back wheel, you know, it doesn't really matter. Or maybe it's in a race and there's always that one competitor, you know, that's just always in front of you. Or I think you're getting the picture. You don't need me to labour the point too much. The idea is that there is some sort of visual thing, something you can observe and also relate to how you're feeling. And that's where we went with it. It was like, well, how easy was it this time to hold on to your back wheel? Or how hard was it? Or did you enjoy doing it? And that was where the conversation was going. And I think that's why this podcast is going to be interesting and a bit of fun at the same time. Now, here is my immediate reaction was, oh, this is dead interesting, because in this self-coach cyclist podcast, we talk a lot about quantitative data. That is, you know, your power, your heart rate, and your speed, and into that detail. And what this conversation sparked was actually a realization that we don't spend an awful lot of time thinking about the qualitative data, i.e., you know, the how do you feel, what do you see, what do you observe, was it difficult, how tired were you, how enthusiastic were you having fun? And that was like, oh, okay, a little awakening moment that said, okay, let's have a think about this. And my process of thinking about it led to getting in front of a microphone and wanting to share those thoughts with you. And I'm hoping that you're going to share those thoughts back as well. There's several channels in which you can communicate with us these days. Now, I like to think of this as a big swingometer. So imagine like a dial, and on one side you've got, you know, you qualitative data, and the other time you've got your quantitative data, and there's like a needle that swings in between the two. And at any particular time, this dial can move. It might actually move mid-ride, hour by hour, you know, of like, how do I feel, but my stats say that, and oh, I'm seeing that, but that's different. You know, that needle could be swinging and you could find a nice happy balance. Maybe it's day by day, and one day you're particularly focused on the data, and another day you're like, oh, I'm not feeling it today, and you're more in tune with the qualitative side. Could be season by season, year by year. You know, we just definitely have times when, you know, we get absolutely focused on our training and we get really into the detail and the stats. And then other years, I'm sure you can relate, where you're like, oh, I'm just really enjoying riding this season. I haven't really got any major aims. I've got a few races planned, but nothing major. and you're much more about enjoying yourself and trying new things or learning some skills. And I think you see where I'm going is this idea that finding the balance isn't necessarily something that happens easily. It's something that needs some sort of external stimulus to shift the balance. And sometimes we need a coach to remind us of that as well. So a case that really springs to mind is sometimes you can get so focused on the stats, and no matter how hard you're trying, they are just not moving. They're not going up. They're not seeing that improvement. You sort of stagnated, you plateaued. And this is where a coach would normally go, okay, calm down. Let's, you know, take stock. Let's put our mind in the right place. Might be doing some more psychology type coaching with you just to establish a base again, find that motivation, get you well, get you prepared, and then start the build again. And so a coach might do that ourselves. But when we're a self-coached cyclist, sometimes we need an external stimulus to prompt that, shall we say. So I'm hoping this podcast, maybe for some of you, might be that prompt, or maybe sometime in the future, you'll remember this podcast and go, oh yeah, you know, maybe I should just think about this for a little bit. That's where I'm hoping this will take us. Now, just want to spend a little bit of time breaking down exactly what I mean by these two terms, this quantitative data. So if you've done a degree or done a really sort of research project, I'm pretty sure those two words are common knowledge. And the quantitative stuff that we are most associated with as self-coached cyclists are things like RFTP becoming a piece of data that almost defines a cyclist, our watts per kilogram, our peak power, our aerobic threshold, our speed, you know, maybe speed over duration or speed at a certain gradient, our heart rate zones. You get the idea. But then as we sort of go down the speed and we go, well, did I improve? You know, and then I go, well, was I faster? Did I win the race? And if I was slower, but I still won, you know, is that the same? Or did I improve my position, but I was slower? Okay, all those external factors, etc. Or suddenly you're into this grey area, it's going, well, I was slower, but I had more fun. So then we sort of switch over into our qualitative data, where we need to start asking ourselves those questions. And we've got those three senses, really. So what did you observe? You know, what did you see? In this case, the boyfriend's back wheel is a visual reference here. So you've got that back wheel of whoever it is, doesn't really matter, just there, and that's that visual cue. But then how did you feel? And being in touch with, you know, was it an easy to keep that visual reference in mind, or was it difficult, or was it uncomfortable? You know, and what did you hear? What were the audio feedback? Maybe not from your riding partner or the club, but also your internal dialogue. What were you sort of saying to yourself? And then on the other side of that is, what did they, whoever it might be, boyfriend, club, best friend, racing, you know, what did they observe about you? What did they feel about you? And what did they hear about you? So you can see this needs some sort of empathy as well as your own personal reflection to really get into this. Now, in academia, there's some technical terms for this, which is the idea of ethnography and autoethnography. And ethnography is that study of observation, awareness, empathy, social structures, that sort of thing. And that's very much what you as an individual are observing about other people or society or the group. The autoethnography is very much about the self-reflection, the personal experience, those sort of things. And so you can go down a complete rabbit warren here with it. But the point I wanted to make is that in academia, Bachelor of Science people versus Bachelor of Arts people, you can argue this out. But in terms of the quality of data, then your qualitative, i.e. all your what do you see, feel, hear, is just as valid as what did you measure. And I think this is worth remembering as self-coached cyclists. When we are surrounded now by tech. Now, not so long ago, where that rate of perceived effort and your coach was asking you, how did that feel? You know, we don't have that so much anymore because we, you know, the heart rate monitor definitely has been in nearly everyone's hands. The power meter, because of smart trainers, because of Swift, has become even more prevalent. And now we have things like the Moxie meters that we talk about. We have fantastic stats like Training Peaks and Strava and Exert, which can then run algorithms and give us even more data into like our aerobic threshold. You get the idea. It's become a very, very data-driven sport. And it's easy, I guess, to get carried away in the tidal wave of that. And I, for one, I definitely feel like I probably lost track or lost touch even with some of the more qualitative data. And this chat about the boyfriend's back wheel was a real awakening moment to me. It was actually, that is a really good, valid measure. Now, there is some negative connotations in that, and I don't want to dwell on them because it was never, ever a negative thing. It was, you know, and if the relationship that you're in is that your boyfriend rides off and leaves you, then that's rubbish. And if you, or vice versa or whatever, that's not a fun relationship. That's not the point of this podcast. This was two people out riding, having some fun, you know, and hopefully that's the sort of measure that you're having as opposed to one person punishing the other or whatever. So back on track, why is this important? And I think this is important because sometimes we need to pull out of the detail, the micro, and look at everything in the macro. And this is where they go big picture, like the big wide open vista, you know, the wide angle lens. And I think that's definitely worth your consideration. Like, because ultimately, how fun was it? You know, if that's sort of a question that you sometimes need to ask, is actually, did I enjoy that? And then there are other questions as well. And some of the ones I wrote down here was, how tired do you feel? Now, tired could be perceived as a negative or a positive, and that's up to you, or maybe even just up to you in that certain state of mind or wherever it is. Because I quite like a good hard ride, and I can reflect on that and go, yeah, that was a good hard ride. Other people are like, oh, I'm tired, you know. And you know, that definition can change depending on where you're at with it and where you're meeting it. But then, were you better than last time? How are you going to define better qualitatively? Did you do one particular part of that? Did you have more skills? Did you feel like you'd cornered a little bit better? Did you feel like you paced yourself a bit better? Were you more comfortable? You know, did you have a sore bum? Were your backs hurting? Were you less sore the next day? You know, did you have to eat quite as much when you finished? You know, all these sort of things all make up that rich picture, if you like, of the full picture, which as a self-coach cyclist, you don't always take in. And any sort of one-to-one coach is probably always trying to elicit this sort of data from you whenever you have your coaching one-to-ones. It's certainly how I like to have those conversations with the one-to-one conversations, is like the data I can see at any time, and we don't really need to review that. Reviewing the data should really be a means of asking the right questions that gets us to the qualitative data that says, get to that right rate of perceived effort, that rider. How did you feel about it? Do you feel tired? I want you to really think, are your muscles sore? Are they more sore than last time? Because that's that data that makes up that big picture. When we're trying to make decisions, we need more than just stats. We need to know like how it felt. Now, how we do this, autoethnography, ethnography, self-reflection, call it what you want. Now, it can be quite structured or it can be quite unstructured. And I think this is kind of down to the individual. And this is something we did in our yoga practice recently, and just to try and define that moment and how we do it. But because for a lot of people, maybe it is just a very peaceful, in your own mind, just reflecting, and more important, remembering something, you know, so that you can like solidify it in a way. And that might just be, you know, I'm in the shower and I'm just thinking about something, but I'm going to make a point, a of remembering that. You know, when I did that particular event and I did it at that speed, that's how I felt, or I ate that type of food this in, when I was that tired, and that's how it made me feel, and going, yeah, okay, I've identified that, I've put it into my memory. You know, maybe you do something a little bit more structured, and maybe you just give things a simple thumbs up or a thumbs down, you know, in the notes section and of your app, or just mentally give it like, yeah, that was good, that was bad. And maybe you just break that down ever so slightly into like, comfortable, yes. You know, tired, no. You know, it's, I want you to try and find your own method. What some of the apps do now, especially things like Training Peaks, is they've got some functions, and your coach might be asking you to do this already, is to rank things 1 to 10. Maybe it was like, well, how tired do you feel the morning after? Rate it 1 to 10. You know, how difficult did you find that workout? You know, 1 to 10. You know, and that's starting to build up that tapestry of information that we can then use to discuss and reflect deeper onto that experience. Maybe it is as simple, and I wrote this down because sometimes it is as simple as, did I celebrate the ride with, you know, a beer or a cake, or did I go home and have a protein shake? And those two things might actually be quite telling. You know, what reason did this time did you think you feel like you needed to celebrate, whereas sometimes what time did you feel like actually I need to go home and drink and eat and have a protein shake? And even just recognizing that you do something like that can be quite insightful, I guess. And with that in mind, the word celebrate was like, yeah, we really should celebrate our qualitative gains, our wins, and possibly even more than the quantitative ones, because one leads to the other. I feel like gains in quantitative stats should lead on to gains in qualitative stats. We should feel happy that we've made a fitness gain, you know, and if we don't, then we have a problem. I would suggest, you know, you've got to start reflecting on that and working out what it is. So I think it is important to celebrate, recognize those qualitative, you know, wins, however you define them. And so with all that in mind, I want to bring this podcast to a close with the idea that we zoom out, you know, of that micro detail, and we consider our bigger macro environment, the idea that metabolism and the mind need to work in partnership, the physiological and the psychological are intrinsically linked, and any amount of time spending in one area is a bad thing. Trying to find balance, as always, balance with our nutrition, balance with our training time, balance with our work life, balance with how we study, reflect on our quantitative stats and our qualitative stats is also of vital importance. Well, with that in mind, I'm going to draw that to a close. I hope you found this sort of fascinating, and the journey that we went on of what started off as a friendly, jokey conversation actually sparked some really cool, insightful chat, I guess. And I hope it does for you too. Let me know how you got on with your personal reflection, what sort of goals that you're going to set yourself on that side. Yeah, and if you want to know more about this sort of thing, this is totally my bag, let me know, and I'll try and do more podcasts around this sort of area. I think it's really important, especially in the summer, now that we're in the season. Yeah, let's go. Right, thanks for listening, everybody. Take it easy.